Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, you are once again in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. And yes, we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am so excited to announce that God is doing great things through this worldwide platform, and it is continuously growing, and it's nobody but God. I give him all the glory, honor, and praise for it, and I just thank him for allowing me, the vessel and the servant, to be over it, and I thank God for each and every guest that come forth sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So right now, as we get ready to go forward, we always open up with prayer. But before we do that, I'm asking all listeners, because we have a lot of new listeners, and I want everyone to please get your Bible, your pens and paper ready, so that you can follow along with the man of God in the persons of Deacon Marvin Cox. We'll be bringing the word for very shortly, but he always shares with us an inspirational poem first. So get ready for another inspirational poem from Deacon Marvin Cox, and then he's going to break open the bread of life, God's word, to us once again on tonight. We always open up with prayer, so I'm asking all listeners, please go in prayer with me at this time, because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, it is in his name we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because we know that you're worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. You cannot lie, you cannot fail, you cannot change. And we thank you that you have and hold all power in your hands. And you are in total control at all times. You never sleep nor slumber. But we just bless your name for who you are on tonight, once again, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. Blot out all of our iniquities in the name of Jesus Christ, starting with myself, my entire family, and I especially lift my brother Curtis Brown, who's still in the hospital, and his roommate, Brother Eric. Not only us, but every doer of your word on tonight, that are faithful doers of your word, including Deacon Marvin Cox and his family, forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, because your word lets us know that we all have sinned. We all come short of your glory. So that's why we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that we can come to you through him and be forgiven of our sins so that we can move forward in fulfilling our God purposes in the earth for your glory. So for this, we said thank you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us, because we know that none of us are worthy. So we give you glory, honor, and praise for that, and we bless your name on tonight. Now, Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are the chief physician. You have never lost a patient. You are still working miracle signs and wonders, even on tonight, all over the land. So I lift up my brother again, Curtis Brown, and his roommate, Eric, and all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, because we know that you know who they are and where they are, even the listeners that may be sick and afflicted, because your eyes are in every place. So we know that you're still working miracle signs and wonders on today. So move by your spirit, Heavenly Father, in these situations, they will be healed, delivered, and set free according to your will. And they will all be able to come forth and let the world know that it was you and you alone who have healed them and delivered them and set them free in the name of Jesus. We also lift up all those, Heavenly Father, that are bereaved on tonight. We know that you are the comforter, that has the one that can comfort us like no one else can. So we ask that you will move by your spirit, Heavenly Father, comfort and strengthen all those that have lost loved ones all over the land. Let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Heavenly Father, we now ask that you will move by your spirit on tonight over this worldwide platform. Should there be any listener on tonight that's not saved in Jesus' name, is our prayer, hope, and desire that something will be said through your man of God on tonight that will prick their hearts, that after hearing your word, even on tonight, they will confess their sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them, is our prayer and desire in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we lift up our president, all world leaders, Heavenly Father, that are doing different things in the earth that is not pleasing to you. And they, some of them even think that they are in control. But we ask that you would touch their hearts, Heavenly Father. And if they're not saved, it's our prayer, hope, and desire that you would send your word their way, that they too would be able to hear your word and confess their sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them. And once they are saved, Heavenly Father, they will walk in their God purpose. They will be able to do what's right for all people all over the land, that you will be glorified through them. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your spirit, have your way on tonight, that your word will go forth with power, that it will set the captives free. All those that are not saved will be saved in the name of Jesus after hearing your word. Those that have backslidden will come back to the fold. And all those that are in Jesus Christ, that are faithful doers of your word, we will be built up and strengthened and edified on tonight after hearing your word. It's our prayer in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, I do not have a scripture food for thought because I've been ripping and running, and I did not get a chance to do a scripture food for thought for tonight. But I am going to say this as a scripture food for thought. We know that those of us that are saved in Jesus' name, we know that with God, all things are possible. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So that's the word, that's a scripture food for thought for tonight. With God, all things are possible. And with God and through Jesus Christ, we know that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. That's the spiritual food for thought for tonight. If you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready, which I hope you do, so you can be able to receive this word on tonight, I have one announcement that I would like to make. And this is, I am so thankful again for this worldwide platform, for what God is doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes, and the best is still yet to come. I thank God for each listener. We have so many listeners on Blog Talk Radio. We have many thousands of listeners on Instagram. Then we have faithful listeners on Snapchat. So I just give God the glory, honor, and praise for what he's doing over this worldwide platform. Again, it's not me. It is God working through me and every guest that come forth sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I would like for you all to know that God is doing a new thing in me with my new upcoming book, and I would like for you all to be on the lookout for it. It's titled, Is God on Instagram? Finding Faith on Social Media, a Guide for Teens and Young Adults. Once again, God is doing a new thing through me, and he's working miracle signs and wonders for his people, through even through the books that he blessed us to write for his glory. Be on the lookout for my new upcoming book. Once again, it's titled, Is God on Instagram? Finding Faith on Social Media, a Guide for Teens and Young Adults. Also, I'd like for you all to go to my other website where you can see all the different books that God has blessed me to write that will be a blessing to the body of Christ. All of these books are great spiritual tools for church conferences. They are great spiritual tools for Sunday school classes and Bible study groups for all ages. So if you want to see what God has done through me, through the other books, and they will be a blessing to you, you can go to my other website, which is www.jamesbrown1558.wixsite. That's wixsite.com/internet-radio-host. Once again, my other website is www.jamesbrown1558.wixsite. That's wixsite.com/internet-radio-host. Well, God has done enough of things through this ministry. You know, for those of you that are followers of this broadcast and this ministry and platform, you know that God had other people that had shows up under my direction. And again, nobody did that but God. But for those of you that was listening and followers of Brother Jose Dorsey and Sister Danielle Dorsey, their show was titled Theologically Speaking. They used to come on every first and every third Thursday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Well, they did their last show on tonight up under my direction. So they have gone out. The Lord has opened another door for them to be able to host their own show. So if you want to tune in and listen to them, you can go to their new website, which is blogtalkradio.com/theologically speaking. Once again, to hear Jose and Danielle Dorsey's show each first and third Thursday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., you can go to their new website, which they will be, their first show will be airing on November the 7th. You can go to their website now, which will be blogtalkradio.com/theologically speaking. And we also have Ministry Impossible that will be coming up very soon. Minister Sharon Rambis is going to be going out on his own. The Lord has opened a door for him to be able to host his own show. He will be doing his last show up under my direction on the 26th of this month. So once we get him set up and get his new show time and dates, we will be giving you that information. So for right now, he's still up under my direction, and he will be coming forth again on October the 26th. He will be coming on at 6:30 p.m., from 6:30 to 7 p.m., Ministry Impossible with Minister Sharon Rambis. So I just thank God for what he's doing. He's opened new doors for them to be able to host their own shows, and I will continue to be hosting my own show. For now, because of what God is doing through me, my last show will be October the 31st. Thursday, October the 31st will be my last show until the first part of February 2020. It will be the Lord's will. Once again, my last show will be Thursday, October the 31st of this year. And then we'll just restart again once the Lord says so, hopefully, be February of 2020, so I can complete this upcoming book that God will be glorified through it. So I just want to make sure that all listeners have that information. I am not stopping the show. I'm just doing what God has directed me to do, and let's get this new book out so that it can be a blessing to our young people, so that they will know that their faith is to be in God. Even as youth, they must have their faith and trust in God through this new upcoming book. So right now, I'm not going to do a music break. I'm going to go right forward and bring on Deacon Marvin Cox. And once again, I pray that you have your Bibles. I pray that you have your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to share with us once again another inspirational poem, then it's going to go directly into God's word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you, Brother Brown, truly, once again. It's an honor and a pleasure to be able to bring forth God's word. And it's also an awesome responsibility. And that's one area that I do not want to fall short in. Tonight's poem is dealing with the questions we asked ourselves concerning God's word. His word is so awesome. Sometimes we don't think that we're worthy enough to bring forth his word. And the poem is entitled, Why God Chose Me, and I personalized it, but for you to personalize it. And it reads, Why God Chose Me. My talent is that what he saw long ago. My talents, I see that the answer is no. My looks, just a mirror dispels that thought. And that's why God called me. He called me for naught. My wisdom, not even a trace do I see. Then why, tell me why, did my Savior call me? And just like the wind as it glides through the sky, a voice softly answered, Yes, I'll tell you why. Because when I looked, you were nothing to see. And when I shine through nothing, then men will see me. I call men a weakness so I can be strong. I call even the downcast and I give them a song. I call out of nothing so when something appears, men give me glory. And down through the years, it has been so, though the world is appalled, not many noble nor wise have been called. The poor man, the weak man, though often despised, come alive at God's touch, and the world is surprised. The fruitless, the failures, the dregs of the earth become princes and kings when God's Son gives them birth. And in spite of their past or how they were raised, God gives them life, and the world is amazed. Your credentials for heaven, I'll give you a clue. They are only that God has found Jesus in you. In spite of your weakness, your failure, your health, in spite of your lack of applause, your praise, or your wealth, he called, he equipped, he sent from above and made you his chosen and bathed you in love. 'Twas only that God in his infinite power gave us himself in that marvelous hour. When he said yes to his gift of grace, and Jesus said yes as he took our place. What a trophy we are. What a victory indeed, but not for our value, but rather our need. Then let's yield all we are, all we have, all we own. Relinquish our pride and come down from our throne. And turn into Jesus, let's worship and praise that he will be Lord all the rest of our days. My talents, my wisdom, no, dear God, now I see. It was grace and grace only that you should choose me. Amen. That's for all the people that have been laboring in the Lord. And it seems like you're not getting any recognition. It seems like you're not getting anywhere and you're feeling like giving up. But this is hopefully an encouragement to keep you going. Because many of us, as I say, God's word is so awesome that it baffles us. It baffles me at why, you know, God would choose a lowly vessel like me to bring forth his word. You know, as I said from the beginning, it's an awesome privilege and awesome responsibility for me to write, for me to be able to read, for me to expound on God's word, and for me to translate it to his people. Now, we're going to immediately go into tonight's lesson. It's another wonderful lesson, as they all are, that the Lord has given me to share with you. And those of you who have your Bible, I'll be reading to you from the King James Version of the Bible, Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. And it reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to him to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hireth us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, then shall ye also receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. I just read unto you from the book of Matthew, King James Version, verses the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 8. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Now, if we was to pick a topic tonight, our topic would be, you don't need a resume to work for the Lord. And in the said scriptures that were previously read unto you, and I'll have to tell you this story, that the Lord needs workers for his vineyard. And the Lord, if you look at how it was worded, say the husbandman of the vineyard, he went out. And see, most jobs you have to go through, you have to go to, have to send in an email, you have to send in your resume. And if you notice, when you send in a resume, you send in all the good things about you. You send in all the things that make you attractive to a potential hirer. And so, but if the Lord knows all about you, then you need no resume to come into his vineyard and work. But he went out into that first hour, and he was recruiting, and there were people that they are now standing idly by, not doing anything. So he informed and he instructed these guys. He didn't do. He said, Lord, don't have to do a background check on you, because he already know what you're about. He knows your heart. He knows how you feel about things. And see, the thing about this is that nowadays, when you put in your resume, then what they do right after you, you know, they say that you got some good qualifications, they give you a physical. In the process of them giving you a physical, they want to, first of all, see if you're able to handle that job. Then they want to see if you have any addictions, if you have any disabilities that may prevent you from doing the work. But see, God in his infinite wisdom, he told the Lord in his wisdom, say, you just, you know, come into my vineyard and work. You don't need no resume. Why are you standing here idle? Why are you not? And see, if you look at verse 7, their response was, because no man would hire us. You know, if you could just think along with me for a moment or two, one probably said, I don't have no job because I didn't pass the drug test. The other guy might have said, I don't have a job because they denied me, they disqualified me because I have a criminal record. The other one may have said, as he was gleefully talking to the Lord because of his new hire, he may have said, well, you know, I just don't know how to talk to people. You know, I'm not really a social individual, as Brother Brown was saying, you know, about the Lord on Snapchat or on Instagram. Sometimes, you know, our social skills are not as good as they should be. But despite all of these different things that was going on with these people that we're just using, paraphrasing and using hypothetical situation, but I can imagine the reasons why a lot of people may not get hired because, well, and one other man might have said, or a woman might have said, I passed a physical, but I needed a degree. I needed a degree. I needed a master's degree. But see, the only degree that you may need or the only degree that you may obtain when you come into God's vineyard and work, you may get a B.A., which is born again. But it's even some people that get in on the lowliest of all degrees, and that's a GED. And see, that GED stands for God's Everlasting Divinity. So it really does not matter what your social status is. If you haven't went to this school or that school or this prestigious university or whatever the situation might be, you don't need no resume to work for the Lord. And he gave it to every last one of these individuals an assignment to do. And hopefully they were glad to go in there and do what was necessary for them to do. They went into the vineyard. He said, what is right? I'll pay. And then later on he specified and said, I'll give you a penny. But see, we look at a penny as being a small amount. But during that time, a penny was a lot. The monetary value of a penny at that particular time may have been $16 at that time. And it was the same amount that the Roman soldiers would receive. And that would pay for their provisions and so forth and on. So he was being, the husband of the vineyard was being extremely fair. He said, you don't need no resume. And see, this is an appeal because he went out. He didn't post it on no billboard. He went out looking for workers. Just can't you see the Lord right now may have tapped you on the shoulder and say, I could use your voice. I could use your organizational skills. I could use this. But see, the thing about it is that if you notice when you get a job, the first thing, some people are glad to have a job. But the first thing that people ask you nowadays, and they ask you without fail, how much are you making an hour? See, the pay is so important that it overlooks the fact that you got a job. And some of us turn up our noses at what they offered us, but for 15 years, 20 years, we've been sitting on the couch not getting anything. We think that is below our dignity to accept that low wage. We want to come into this particular company, we want to come into church, or we want to come into the house of prayer, and we want to get top dollar. But I want you to know that at the end of this life, that each and every last one of us is going to get that which the Lord promised us. We're going to get paid. He said, call it what is right. I'll pay. Mm-hmm. So if we go and if we do what is necessary, then we don't have to worry about that because we have to take our focus off of what somebody else is receiving. If you look at it now, okay, we live in Detroit. Well, this broadcast is coming from Detroit. And General Motors and the UAW, they just come to an agreement. And they have this system they call the two-tiered wage system, which the seniority employees, they receive more, and they got part-time employees that's trying to become full-time. They call it a two-tiered wage system. And it brings a lot of confusion because we got, and I just want you to know right now that, once again, that seniority has no privileges in the house of prayer. Now, that preacher that's living in that $750,000 home, at the end of the day, see, these is monetary things, because the Lord, he specified, he said freely. If the people give freely, then freely you receive. So that's a stipulation there. I mean, it should never be a demand upon that head of the household, that angel of the house that is bringing forth God's word. He should never heavy tax God's people. If they're willing to get together and say to him, or say, "We, you know, preacher, you're representing us, and we want to take care of you," then that's a fine thing. I will never knock that. But once again, we have to be able to look out for our brothers and our sisters, the ones that are not meeting their bills, those ones that are falling behind because they've been faithful and they've been tight and they've been doing the things that God has asked and required of them to do. But see, God says, the Lord's word says, well, he said, why are you standing idle? You don't need no resume. And see, we think, and that's why it allows sinners, it allows liars, murderers, adulterers, all of these things, all of these people to come into God's vineyard and work. Because these things, the alcoholics, opioid addiction, all of these things, because you don't need no resume. Now, if you look at how society goes, all most of these things would instantly disqualify an individual from receiving a good job. But it does not matter, because the conversion comes after an individual has been in the house of prayer. So we might come into the house of prayer with lies in our mouth, but guess what? When we get there and we work and we fulfill our assignment, then the Lord would take those lies out of our mouth. The Lord would take that backbiting out of our system. He'll take that adultery, those envies, all of those things that we come. You know, it says in his word, come to me those that are heavy laden, and I will give rest unto your soul. So if a person that is in the vineyard don't have, even though that have been there a multiplicity of years, if they don't have any baggage, something is wrong. Because the only perfect person that I can recall in the 66 books of the Bible, the only perfect person that I could recall, and that was Job. The Bible said that he was a perfect, and he was an upright man. And so we all born in sin, wrapped in iniquity, and we come short of the glory of God. So each and every last one of us, those that are listening, now we have flaws. And we have to work on those flaws. We have to be aware of those flaws so that the Lord, and take those burdens to the Lord, because those are the things that burden you down. A lying tongue will burden you down. It will weigh you down. Sticky fingers will weigh you down. So we have to take these things, because don't think for 1 minute that those people that I just mentioned have not, or they are not in the house of prayer. You could be sitting by a thief on Sunday, but when the Lord touches heart, that guy is going to, or that woman is going to be one of the most generous people that you ever, ever want to be around. So we have to go in there and work out our soul salvation. But the most important thing is that you don't need no resume. It is no disqualifying thing that you have done in your life when you can't fall down on your knees and submit yourself to the house of prayer, where you can't come into God's vineyard and work. And see, that's why a lot of times we get bent out of shape, because we look at the past of some of our brothers and our sisters, and we kind of like look at them and say, boy, you was something else. No, 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 they wasn't something else. You something else. Because it's not one of us that have come into the house of prayer that didn't need to repent about something. Brother Paul tells us that there's a war going on inside of me daily. So this tug of war with myself that I'm having daily, I don't need no resume. I just have to come to the reality of serving the truth as well as a living God. I have to be able to realize, because if you think about it, how society is, those of us that have flaws, those of us that has bad habits, the only way that we could ever get rid of that habit, and that's for us to admit to ourselves and to admit to God, I can't handle this on my own.
Amen.
Lord, you have to take the taste of liquor out of my mouth. You have to take the taste of cigarettes out of my mouth. You have to take my lust for other women that are not my wife. You got to remove that lust from me. But see, when we admit that, because a lot of times we know people will say, oh, it's nothing, I can handle it. But once it seizes control over you and it starts telling you what to do, and okay, let's cover a few things. Okay, we know that gambling, that the endorphins in your brain and adrenaline that pumps to your brain and the excitement and the thrill of the play is so great. I know that, and I can speak for myself. I was a gambler at one time, and now this is, I thought it was sick when I realized what it was. It got to the point that winning or losing did not mean anything to me. It was just the thrill of the game. It was just the fellowship that I had with those that were doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now tell me, that's not a sick man right there, somebody that's losing their hard-earned pay and possibly putting their family in jeopardy. Why? Because of the sins of the flesh, because it's exciting. But when I realized, or it was brought to my attention, hey, you know, this is not the right thing for you to do. So somebody has to tell you. But it'd be better if you tell yourself. Because when people tell you, we will rebuke them. Why? Because we don't want to hear it. But you don't need no resume to work for the Lord. And each and every last one of us, as I said, we have a different assignment. If you just look at the vineyard, okay, you have the wine pressers, you have the sowers, you have the ones that pluck up this, you have the ones that pluck up that, you have the ones that water it, you have the ones that prune it, you got the gardeners, you got all of these different people that's working in the vineyard. You got, okay, if we go to the church, you got your preachers, you got your deacons, you got your choir members, you got all of these people are working in the vineyard. But remember what the scripture says, each man a penny. But because I've been singing louder and people said that they come into the vineyard to hear me sing, I shouldn't get carried away with that. I shouldn't say, well, preacher man, or I think that I should receive more money because, you know, I'm being undercompensated. But all of these things that's going on, all of these things that's happening in the vineyard, we have to be careful and we have to be mindful of these things. Why? Because God, he gave us that invitation to come into his vineyard and work. He told us that whatever is right, I'll pay. So whatever assignment you have, and no assignment in the house of prayer is a lowly assignment. No, it's not. No assignment that's going on is a minimal, because God will get pleasure if you don't do nothing but just sweep the floor. You come in there and you see that the floor needs to be swept. Then when you do that, God is pleased with it, because he needs some floor sweepers. He needs, you know, seniority don't have no privilege. The sister with the big hat who tells you, hey, you got to move. Why? Because you're sitting in my seat? No. That's everybody's seat. But sometimes we state that unnecessary claim on things that belongs to the husbandman of that vineyard. But you don't need no resume, so there's been a lot of people that I know who tell the biggest lies to ourselves, and to those who give us that invitation to come to the house of prayer. This is what we say. A brother come and knock on our door. And we know, which is a good thing, we know that we are in a sinful state of mind, or we are in a sinful atmosphere. And we would say to that brother, with all sincerity, I can't go to church like this. I can't do it. I can't go to church like this. And we know that when we go, we use that as an excuse not to go. And the reason I say, well, you know, when I get right, it's impossible to get right on your own. It's impossible to do right on your own. I need help in doing right. I need somebody to remind me every day to do what's right. My wife, sometimes she'd get on the case and say, did you take your medicine today? Did you do this? Did you do that? Because it's just only human nature. We automatically gonna do what's wrong. If you think about looking at your children and your grandchildren, automatically that kid is gonna stick his hand in that toilet. He's gonna go in the kitchen and play with the stove. He's gonna go precariously close to the edge of the steps where he might fall down. I remember years ago they had this little gate that they used to put right across the doorway, especially on the upstairs. They had this little gate, almost like an accordion. And they would put it there to keep a kid from going or falling down the steps. So whatever your lot in life is, be secure. Don't be ashamed, because it takes courage. It takes courage to admit that I'm resting undone, that, you know, I know that I'm not worthy, but I'm going to go to the emergency room, which is the house of prayer, and I'm going to get this situation fixed. I'm going to do it in such a way that, because I need help. I mean, if you cut yourself, you know, to keep yourself from bleeding to death, you're going to go and have the doctor suture it up. You get a cold, you're going to go to the doctor, and you're going to look for a remedy for that cold. If you're not feeling well, you got the influenza, or you got pain in your chest, or pain, abnormal pain anywhere in your body, you're going to go and you're going to check it out. Why? Because it could be, it's a wake-up call. It could be leading to something way more serious. So if I know, if you're aware that you got problems in your life, why not go to that great doctor? And it's not that preacher. I mean, he may have that gift to bring forth the word and the voice of an angel and sing like an angel. But see, one thing that we cannot do, and that's put that faith in that man, because God is working through that man of God. God is working through that woman of God. God is working through those individuals, because it's something else to say, but some people go to the house of prayer for the singing. And when the choir stops singing, they out of that place. But you don't need no way to work for the Lord. You don't need none. Just go into that vineyard and you work. And you work while it is yet day, because the night come and no man can work. And the worker need not be ashamed. Sometimes, you know, when people get together, they say, well, hey, what do you do? Say, well, I'm a spot welder. Okay. The other man might say, well, you know, I'm a metal finisher. Okay, that's fine. Okay, what you do? Well, I'm a supervisor on the second shift. Okay, well, brother, everybody say what they do. What you do? Now, this might be a janitor. He might be the one that clean out the toilets and everything. But say, a worker need not be ashamed. So whatever it is that the Lord has assigned you to do is necessary. I mean, we have aspirations to advance in God's house. But just be patient. Just be patient. Don't be like those early workers that looked at what the late workers were receiving, because they say that later on in the day, the 11th hour, and say, we know that the day starts at 6 o'clock. It goes from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. But they went out until the 11th hour and gave each one of those individuals a penny. And those ones that were there for a long time, they began to grumble. They began to grumble. Why? Because they felt that they deserved more. But at the beginning of the day, that one penny will just, you know, translated to monetary, but I'm going to say that's $16 or whatever it was that they received at that particular time. It might be more, it might be less. But that money that they received at that time was attractive. It was attractive. And the Lord said, friend, I do thee no wrong. I do thee no wrong, friend. Did not I promise you? See, and the Lord is going to keep his word, but did I not promise you that I would give you this amount? Did I not promise you that at the end of the day, you would receive this amount for the labor? See, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So we have to be mindful that it is plenty of work to do. I know different vineyards that I have been in, that I've been to. The first time a member joins the church, they have an auxiliary. They have one there with the books and say, okay, what auxiliary could we use this brother in? What auxiliary could we use this sister in? So we have to be definitely mindful of these things. So the invitation, and see, it's something else to get an invitation from the boss. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best invitation that we could ever receive, when the owner comes and say, hey, I want you to work for me. Say, well, you know, I'm not qualified. But how many people have started in the mail room and ended up in the executive suite? Now, James Brown, not the one that's the executive producer of this show, but James Brown, the singer. I know Brother Brown can sing too, but James Brown, the entertainer, he started off in front of a building in Augusta, Georgia. He started off shining shoes in front of the building. He kept on going, and somebody discovered him. And so he became the owner of that same building that he shined shoes in front of. Now, could you imagine you going to the house of prayer and the Lord giving you some stature, the Lord giving you some prestige, the Lord giving you more responsibility to do his work? And see, can't get carried away, because it's not our work. It's work for us, the extent that we're working for the Lord, but the most important thing is that we're working for ourselves too. So how am I working for myself? Well, okay, you're providing food and nutrition for your family. You're keeping a roof over their head. You are meeting the needs of other people in your community. But the most important thing about working in the vineyard, about not needing a resume, it gives you that one opportunity that you would not have if you did not go into that vineyard and work. It gives you the opportunity to work out your own soul salvation. It gives you a chance to the Lord to see, to look into your heart and see the sincerity of your thoughts, to see the love that you have for him, to see how you grow spiritually. Because I have heard people say, you know, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. So we have this spiritual growth in the house of prayer, whereas we began to, and we become novices, and that's why the officers of the church, it says that not a novice. And it gives a whole list of things that they have to qualify for. But see, that's how you get in there. Because if you don't have good social skills, how could you be a foreman? How could you teach somebody? How could you have patience with somebody? You would be almost like that unjust steward who asked for mercy but incapable of giving mercy. Mm-hmm. But You're gonna run into difficulties out there. Believe me when I tell you, you're gonna run into difficulties and difficult people.
Yes,
but pay that no mind, because God's word said, "Let the wheat and the tare grow together, and in my harvest, I do the separating." So you're gonna, run into some people that's gonna rub you the wrong way. But in order to get there, the most important thing, in order to get there, you don't need no resume. Why would you need a resume for somebody that already know about you and willing to take that chance on you?
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't pass up that opportunity if I was you. I would not wait another minute. That invitation has been put out there. Your credentials, as the poem said, hey, your credentials is that God has found Jesus in you. And a lot of times, people see things in us that we do not see in ourselves. People see the goodness inside of us. And if you don't believe me, if you recently attended a funeral or they gave individuals there an opportunity to comment about the deceased person, and that person got to talking about how they had a good time with this person and so forth and on, and you think that they're describing somebody, say, oh, I know not Cousin Theodore. So God sees things in us, the Lord sees things in us that we don't see in ourselves. It's a song that says, "He saw the best in me when everybody else could only see the worst in me." So God is seeing the best in each and every last one of us this day. He has a job for each and every last one of us to do. Remember, it don't matter what you do. Don't matter if you're a violator of the Ten Commandments. Don't matter if you drop dead before you tell the truth. It does not matter. Whatever it is, whatever your iniquity is, now is the time to give it to the Lord. He has given you and he has given me that opportunity to come into his house and to work. And to work diligently and to work faithfully.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said before, this opportunity that if I was you, I wouldn't pass it up, because your soul salvation, my soul salvation is at stake. And I'm not a gloom and doom type of person. I'm going to try to always, at the end of the message, give you hope, but always give an encouraging word, because there's somebody that needs to know that the Lord is recruiting. Even with unemployment down, 3%. 3.7%. That still means that 3% of the people is not working. And if you add up large numbers, that means there's hundreds of thousands of people that's not working. I mean, that is a million people that don't have a job. But then, that recruiter, I tell you, he'll be knocking on your door soon. That opportunity is coming. And it's coming in a way in which you might not believe. It might be coming through prosperity. It might be coming through illness. It might even be coming through death. But he's giving us that invitation right now. And as I say, you don't need a resume, because he knows all about you. And he will forgive you for those things if you ask him to. And if you're sincere about not repeating those things. So may God bless you. And may he ever keep you. And remember, you could tell, your brothers or your sisters or your neighbors or whatever. Those that are making excuses that, I don't want to do this because I'm a big drug dealer. I don't want to do this. Just tell them you don't need no resume to come in the house of prayer and work for Jesus. So may God bless you and may ever keep you. And I'll turn you back over to the hands of Brother Brown. Brother Brown, it's on you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox. We thank you for that powerful word on tonight. You don't need a resume to work for the Lord. And that's a fact. I'm a witness. Like you said in your message, we must work for the Lord while it's day. In the daytime represents life while we're breathing here on earth in the flesh. Because the nighttime is coming, and the night represents death. I cannot work for the Lord when we're dead. That's why we have to do all we can while we are living. So we thank God for this word on tonight. And then we thank God for that message that came forth through Deacon Marvin Cox that let us know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why we have to be so grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ, God's only begotten, beloved Son, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, because he said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even those that are saved in Jesus' name, we all fall short, and we all sin. So thank God for Jesus that we don't have to, just like Deacon Marvin Cox said in the word, for those of you that may be listening, you may not be saved on tonight. You may be looking for excuses. Well, I'm a drug dealer. I do this and I do that. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a prostitute. Whatever the case may be, Jesus Christ will accept you just like you are. Some people think when he says, come to me just as you are, some people use that as an excuse because I don't have the right type of clothes to wear in the house of God. No, he's looking at your heart. Come unto me just like you are. I know your issues. I know your flaws. I know your sins. So just come to God just as you are. And you have to be humble and be surreal, be sincere, just like the word says, with your whole heart, cry out unto the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sins and transgressions. And if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God's son, you must confess and open your mouth. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ died for you and me. He came down from glory in the form of flesh to pay our sin debt with his own sinless blood, that we can be redeemed back to our Heavenly Father. Thank God for Jesus. I am so grateful for those of you that may be listening that are not saved on tonight. You know, you no longer have an excuse. You have heard the word. Go to the hospital where you can get the help that you need, to the house of God, where Jesus is waiting for you through his word, as the word is being ministered to the people, as the music is played, as the songs are sang. Let God minister to your heart, and that he will show you yourself and your sinful ways, and that way he will be able to show you the right way through the man or woman of God who's delivering the word at that time that you are hearing it, so that you'll be able to open your mouth. Don't have no more excuses. You will be able to open your own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your heart and save you. That's what his heart desire is. And God's desire is that no man, no soul be lost, because we know that there is a hell. Some people don't believe it, but there is a hell and there's a heaven. There's no in-between. So you have a choice. You have a decision to make. God is a gentleman. He do not force himself on anyone. He give us free will. So we know that at the end of the day, when all has been said and done, when we have passed from this life, the word of God says unto all of us has been appointed unto us once to die, and after that, the judgment. So we're all going to stand before God. We're going to give an account for every deed done in our bodies, the good and the bad. So if you have set up under what God's word and you have heard God's word, to anyone that have come to you, whether it's on your job, in your neighborhood, or even in your family, you have heard the word of God. You've heard about Jesus Christ and how he can save you. And if you make that choice not to choose Jesus Christ, and with the day of judgment, when you stand before God, you have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you hear God say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, and your soul end up in hell. Guess whose fault it's going to be? It's going to be your own fault. So you have heard this word on tonight. You don't need a resume to work for the Lord. The Lord is still looking for workers in his vineyard to be doers of his word, faithful doers of his word. After hearing the word, you'll be a faithful doer of God's word, and then you'll be rightfully paid by God himself in the day of judgment. Again, God is a promise keeper. He is not like you. So we thank God for this word on tonight. I pray that someone has been blessed by it. I know it has been a blessing to me. I pray that someone has been encouraged by this word on tonight. So we thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Please pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, within the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father, because your word is true. We know that you are not like man. You cannot lie. You cannot fail. You cannot change. We thank you that your eyes are in every place. And, oh God, we thank you that you said in your word that you was going to pay us, and you will pay us in that time and the rightful day when we all stand before God, you, our Heavenly Father, and give an account for every deed done in our body, the good and the bad. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can come through Jesus Christ and ask to be forgiven of our sins and our transgressions so that we can move forward in our God purposes in the earth for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. So now, Lord, we pray that you will continue to move by your Spirit even through this worldwide ministry and platform. Continue to have your way, Heavenly Father. We give you the glory, honor, and praise for it. We thank you for every listener. Continue to bless them. Grant them the desires of their hearts. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But that's the word for tonight, and I pray that someone has been blessed by this word on tonight and that God, we know he was truly glorified through his word, through Deacon Marvin Cox. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. On this coming Saturday, I have a special guest coming on, author of a book, Sister Williams from California will be sharing with us her book. It's titled Birth to Purpose in an Uncomfortable Place. Again, her book is titled Birth to Purpose in an Uncomfortable Place. She will be my guest on this coming Saturday night, so you want to tune in and be blessed by her. Until the next time, continue to know that I love you and know that God loves you even more. Until then, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.